Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, this is God's holy word. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. That's as far as we'll read this morning in God's holy word. Now, friends, I think many people today pride themselves in being skeptical. They can spot fraudsters and scammers a mile away. They know that the email from Mr. Maramea of the Ivory Coast, which informs you that a sum of $3.5 million, which is being held with a private security company in the Ivory Coast, is awaiting only your banking information, is likely not true. But you know, for many people, the problem is not in being too skeptical, but not skeptical enough. The great danger in the world is not that there is too little faith, but that there is far too much faith. And this is most especially and importantly true in terms of spiritual truth. People can be so quick to believe almost anything about God or their own souls or eternity. And because this is true, we now see as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 15, Jesus issues a warning. He says, watch out. Beware. Give your careful attention to what I'm going to say. And so this morning, as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, we will have before us just verse 15, this warning that comes in two ways. Jesus here gives a warning about a constant danger, and then a warning about a subtle deception. In verses 16 through 20, Jesus will go on to tell us how specifically to recognize that danger, how to discern or detect it. But for this morning, just the warning of the danger itself in that twofold way. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Well, first, Jesus warns of a constant danger. Watch out for false prophets. Now, I don't know how you hear that. If you've never read that before, and now you're hearing it this morning, here's Jesus saying, watch out for false prophets. I think to many, it may seem like such an out-of-date warning. False prophets? I'm supposed to be on guard against false prophets? Boys and girls, it would be like driving down the road maybe and seeing a sign that said, caution, dinosaur crossing. you think it's a joke. Dinosaurs aren't around, so why do I need to be careful? False prophet? People may think, if this applies at all today, and people think, false prophet, have I ever met a false prophet? They probably have in mind some disheveled person wandering the streets wearing a sandwich board announcing the end of the world. But the Bible tells us about prophets. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 that at various times God himself spoke through prophets. Prophets were those who were called and commissioned by God to speak his word, to tell people what God says. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews goes on to say, but in these last days he has spoken through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the great prophet, the final prophet, the one who reveals God to us perfectly. And when the Old Testament and the New Testament of our Bibles were being written, God called and commissioned prophets and apostles. Apostles, too, spoke the word of God to proclaim God's truth. And so Jesus warned people in his own generation in Matthew chapter 24 to watch out for false prophets and false Christs. But ever since the Bible was completed in its 66 books, as one writer said, in the strict and technical sense of the term, there are no longer any prophets. God has spoken finally in Christ in his word, and he doesn't speak directly through people the way he once did, so that those people can say on the authority of God, thus says the Lord. But if we think of a prophet, then, more generally, as someone who claims to speak the truth to people, it becomes obvious that the warning that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7 still applies. There are still people saying, this is true, and you should believe it. And so the warning applies. It's a constant danger to watch out for false prophets. The word in Greek is a word we know, pseudo, false, a lie. We hear about pseudoscience. It's not real science. This is a warning against pseudo prophets, false teachers, people who distort or discard the truth and persuade people to believe their message. And Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for false teachers and false preachers. And so Jesus has this warning here in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know in very much preaching today if there's a lot of warning anymore. There's a lot of other things. But I don't know if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus as preachers as much as we should in this area of warning. But Jesus preached and Jesus warned. And we appreciate warnings, don't we? Don't you appreciate being warned? Warning on a prescription from the doctor? Don't operate heavy machinery. Oh, good. That's important. The warning light on your car's dashboard. That's a good thing. Your engine needs oil. Thank you for that warning. Warnings in the news about an interest rate hike. Good. That's a good warning. Want to be prepared for that. Don't want to be naive financially. I don't know what you think about those particular warnings, Because isn't it true that usually the more we have a personal interest in something, the more we pay attention to the warning? If I'm not on any medication, I don't care what it says. If I don't have a car, I don't care about warning lights. The more we have a personal interest in the issue, the more we pay attention to the warning. Otherwise, warnings can be easy to ignore. So here's the question. Why listen this morning to this warning about false prophets? You say, who cares? It doesn't have anything to do with my life. It doesn't have anything to do with Monday morning. What does that have to do with the problem in my marriage, or with my kids, or the issues at work? Tell me about something practical. Why should we take an interest in this warning? Well, because the truth is, we all have a very personal interest in this warning. We need to think about this warning because of what is really at stake. We need to remember then what Jesus has just been talking about in verses 13 and 14. Because it's on the heels of those verses that this warning comes. And what has he been speaking about? Remember that Jesus has just been talking about the two ways or the two roads that describe people's lives. And it applies to everyone, as we saw last time. Doesn't matter who you are this morning, when Jesus speaks about these two different ways, these two different roads, these two different lives, you're on one of them. It describes all of us in one way or another. And you remember that Jesus spoke about one road, and it was a wide road. It was an easy road, an easygoing road. It's a very popular road. But then he also spoke of a narrow way, a difficult road that's always unpopular. But the real issue when Jesus spoke about these two ways or roads is where the roads lead. The wide, easy, popular road, Jesus said, leads to destruction. While only the narrow, difficult, unpopular road, which is the way of the gospel, the way of Christ, the way of the cross, only that road leads to eternal life. And we considered how outwardly attractive the wide road is. That's why so many are on it. It looks so good. It feels so good. Everybody's doing it. And so many people are attracted to that wide road. But it leads to destruction, eternal destruction, what the Bible calls hell. And only the narrow road leads to life, which the Bible calls heaven. But you know, it's not just the attractions of the wide road itself that seduce people to stay on it and to reject the narrow way. Jesus goes on, you see, here in verse 15, to warn us that there will also be people who will try to convince other people that the wide road is the good road. It's not just the attractiveness of the road itself. There will actually be people promoting the wide road, advertising the wide road, encouraging the wide road. Like a worker at the airport with his flashlight saying, go this way. And there people go. They will try to convince people that the wide road is the good road, that the easy way is the best way, and that the popular option is the safest option. But Jesus says, watch out. Watch out for false prophets, because eternity is at stake. Your soul is at stake. Heaven and hell are at stake. And everyone has a personal interest in their own eternity. This warning against false prophets, then, is a constant danger. We see it all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 13. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, wow, he says something and it comes true. He must be telling the truth. No. And if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Right at the beginning of the Bible, the warning against false prophets. In Jeremiah that we heard this morning, the prophet, as many other prophets, God says through him, I did not send these prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? I've heard what these prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. As if personal experience is the great touchstone of truth. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name? And as we've seen in the New Testament, Jesus says many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Paul, we heard recently in an evening message, as he meets with the elders of the church from Ephesus, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in and among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. In 2 Peter, later on in the New Testament, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. You see what happened in the past? It's not a thing of the past, Peter says. False prophets? Well, false teachers. In the ongoing history of the church, it's a constant danger. In 1 John 4, John says to people, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, this is a great, serious, and constant danger. False prophets, false teachers, and the falsehoods they promote. But it's one thing to read a warning. That's not the issue, is it, really? We need that, but here's the issue. Are you listening to the warning? Are you listening to it? Are you following a false prophet? Again, that sounds so out of date to people. Or else it sounds cultish. Well, I'm not like those people in 1978 who followed Jim Jones to their deaths in Guyana. That's where they're saying drinking the Kool-Aid comes from, which is when someone accepts an idea due to popularity, peer pressure, or persuasion. That happens all the time. It doesn't just happen in a cult compound somewhere in a far-off country. I don't mean to say it too casually or to demean what happened there, but people are drinking the Kool-Aid all the time about all sorts of things. That's why Jesus warns us. Accepting an idea due to popularity, peer pressure, or persuasion? It happens all the time. The question is, when it comes especially to spiritual and eternal questions, who are you believing? To whom are you listening? You know, often people chuckle when celebrities actors or singers make pronouncements about science or economics. There'll be some rock star who has this great pronouncement about the oil sands in Alberta. And most often, people that know what's really going on just go, what's he talking about? He'd be better off just to keep quiet about this. They speak about science or economics, subjects on which they are not qualified to speak. But now, put yourself in that picture. Who is your prophet when it comes to spiritual matters? You know, we look at that and say, well, that person has no real right, has no real authority to speak on these issues. Well, who are you listening to in the realm of spiritual truth? Who are you believing when the topic is your soul? Are you listening to a scientist to inform you about spiritual realities? He has no right to speak definitively on those things. You can't put your soul in a test tube. Are you putting your hope in a politician or an economist to educate you about eternity? People who think they are experts but still get it so wrong about things that are only passing away? And we think they're experts, and we listen to them about everything. But you know, often the teaching that we're really believing is much more subtle. Most people are being educated about their lives unawares. I think most people are being educated about their lives without even realizing what's going on. The false prophets of the day are the songs that people listen to. The false teachers are the movies that people watch. And they keep watching, and slowly but surely, their thinking gets into a pattern. And it's the pattern of what that producer or director wanted them to think. It's the news channels that people absorb. It's what's teaching them. Helping your world make sense. Really? You're going to tell me how this world makes sense? But people listen. You see, everyone has prophets all around them. We have to see these words of Jesus and not just discard them as some relic from the past. We need to see that this word comes to each and every one of us today. It's a constant danger, and it's a serious danger. Jesus is warning us, watch out for false prophets. We always need to be asking ourselves, who is teaching me? Who is informing my thinking and my living? But you know, friends, the warning is not primarily for people out in the world. That's true, and that needs to be addressed. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, the warning is not primarily for people out in the world, but for people in the church. And this is where the danger is especially found. That makes sense, doesn't it? You want to find a prophet? Well, I guess I'll go to church. There's probably going to be one there. And that makes sense. That's why Jesus here, you see, is giving a warning particularly for people in the church. That's where the danger is especially found. It is in church where we need to be more careful, not less. Oh, how foolish the person that says, oh, I just go to church for the emotional uplift and I leave my brain at the door. Well, you can leave your brain at the door, but don't be surprised then if things go badly for you. Jesus is warning us here. We need to be more careful, not less. We need to be more vigilant, not naive. Do we think that this warning to watch out for false prophets is some dinosaur, some antique that doesn't really apply? You only have to think back a couple of years, and some of you know this. Recently in our own Ottawa congregation, this warning and this danger was not just theoretical or academic, But it was real and personal. Had a human face and a human voice. Jesus' warning is relevant to us today, especially in our own churches. That second aspect is what we see, especially when Jesus fine-tunes the warning by exposing the subtle deception. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That subtle deception that Jesus exposes really only applies in the context of the church, the external church, the visible church. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That's become a common saying in English, hasn't it? A wolf in sheep's clothing. This is a warning that when it comes to false prophets, it's easy to be deceived. It's easy to be tricked or fooled because they appear one way, but the reality is very different. They come in sheep's clothing, Jesus said. Now, usually that's taken figuratively. It's taken to mean that they are disguised as sheep. The New Living Translation, which is a paraphrase more than a translation, says they are disguised as harmless sheep. And I think that's the way that most people have heard these words of Christ. These people seem like Christians. Outwardly, they're very nice. They're very kind people. They seem so innocent and so harmless. You know, when the false teaching and the false teacher was dealt with and removed by God's grace in our sister congregation, so many people were so very upset and even angered. And what I heard over and over and over again was this criticism of the leadership of the church for dealing with it. He's such a nice guy. He's such a nice guy. Why are you being so mean to such a nice guy? Are people so blind? Well, yeah, because they come in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're ferocious wolves. Every huckster, every charlatan, every scammer comes across as pleasant and nice and attractive. He knows what he's doing. That's the danger. But this saying, sheep's clothing, can be taken also in a more literal way. The prophets of old, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, wore clothing that was associated with their calling. In 1 Kings 19, for instance, the Hebrew speaks of Elijah's cloak or his mantle. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, Elijah's cloak is called a melote, which means a sheepskin. It was very likely a sheepskin. And listen to what we read in Zechariah 13:4. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive. They come in sheep's clothing. What is that saying? Well, one commentator put it this way, helpfully, I think. Shepherds invariably wore woolen clothing made from the wool of the sheep they tended. False prophets do not deceive the flock by impersonating sheep, but by impersonating a shepherd. Satan's man goes under the guise of God's man. So they come in sheep's clothing. You see, they come with a position of authority and leadership. But rather than being shepherds who feed the flock, they are wolves who feed on the flock. Jesus says they're ferocious. The word could be translated ravenous. They lay hold of, they catch people in order to hurt, harm, and destroy spiritually. Rather than lead people, they scatter people. Rather than care for people, they devour people. And so this is the subtle, you see, deception. Niceness is no guarantee of truth, but neither is position or prestige. Just because someone has become a minister doesn't mean he isn't a false prophet. Don't equate academic degrees with orthodoxy. I've often wondered why Jesus, after praying a whole night before choosing the 12 disciples, still chose Judas. Now, of course, in hindsight, we know that even man's anger praises him, and he used the betrayal of Judas to bring him to the cross. But perhaps what Jesus is warning about here was also one of the reasons even one apostle was never a true believer. Position does not guarantee truth. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They come in sheep's clothing. They come with a prophet's garb. They're in leadership." Makes the warning even more serious, doesn't it? These are leaders of people. So Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." You know, and I know here as I preach, it can seem arrogant and judgmental for me to preach to you, "Watch out for false ministers." You watch out. But the warning applies here to this pulpit as well. You have to know that. Don't believe anything I say just because I'm the pastor here. Please. Don't believe anything I say just because I'm the pastor. That would be disbelieving Jesus, in fact. In Galatians, Paul can say, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we," speaking of his position as an apostle, "even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." If anything comes to you that you can't test and find in this book, the Bible, watch out. So you see, after commending the narrow way to life, Jesus immediately issues this warning of constant danger, alerting us to a very subtle deception. How should we respond? Let me just mention a few things in closing. First, be humble. Be humble. If Jesus warns us, we need to be warned. We can be so foolish in the face of many warnings. We keep on driving when the engine light flashes. I've done that. How stupid. We keep smoking even when we see the cancerous lungs on the package. You know, boys and girls, on June 22nd, Victoria La Roca of San Francisco lost her life at Painted Rock Cliffs in Land's End, California. The park officials said that the high school student, along with two of her friends, parked their car along a road at around 6:30. They walked down to a fence that had a sign saying, "Danger, area closed." But instead of turning back, all three teens ignored the warning, climbed over the barrier, and made their way to the top of Painted Rock Cliffs. 17-year-old Victoria La Roca slipped and fell 200 feet landing on a big rock and died. What's going through your mind when you read that says danger, area closed, and you think that doesn't apply to me? What arrogance? What pride? Well, Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Be humble. Listen to his warning. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Be humble enough to listen to Jesus' warning. Secondly, be watchful. Be watchful. Too much is at stake to be complacent or naive. Jesus commands us to be watchful. The Bible, the New Testament, is filled with the same call. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Over 40 years ago, Martin Lloyd-Jones spoke at a student conference, and his talks were entitled, What is an Evangelical? And he said in part, an evangelical is someone who is always watching. They are to be discriminating. They are always to be examining. They are always to be watchful. When a person ceases to be watchful, he, to that extent, ceases to be an evangelical. The person who says, it's all right. You don't need to bother. We're all Christians, and we're having a marvelous time together. And is not watchful, is already departing from the biblical position. Be watchful. You know, in a fallen world, an untended garden tends toward weeds. Scientists have discerned the second law of thermodynamics in a fallen world where everything tends toward disorder. But there's a spiritual law in a fallen world that we need to be constantly on guard. And if we are lackadaisical or complacent, things don't get better. They'll get worse. Every denomination, every institution, Christian institution, every seminary, every Christian school is subject and is in danger in this world of spiritual decay and disorder. Let him who stands take heed, lest he fall. It's not just going to keep on going by itself. Well, usually these declines are subtle. We need to be watchful. They're subtle because they come from within. John says they went out from us. They're your friends. They're your colleagues. They're the guys you went to seminary with. They're the guys that you sat beside in church and sang together and prayed together. That's who they are. They're people you'd count as your friends. It's subtle because it's so often slow and gradual. The frog in the kettle. Even generational. The devil is patient. He's patient for his weeds that he's sown to grow. And it's often subtle because the issues at first are peripheral. They're not central, core issues. We'd spot that a mile away. No, they're peripheral. But theology is a whole system, and every part is connected. And if you compromise here, on the outside, at the circumference, it will inevitably lead to a compromise at the center. Keep watch, Paul says in Acts 20, verse 20. And that's a word especially to elders. Keep watch. Keep watch. Keep watch over yourselves. Don't be led astray. We're not above hearing this warning. And keep watch. Protect God's people from being deceived. How can you do that? Well, more briefly, be careful. Carefully consider what you hear. In Acts 17, the Bereans, Christians in Berea, were more noble because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's how you're watchful, by being careful to test everything according to God's word. Next, be prayerful. Watch and pray. Here in the Sermon on the Mount in verses 7 through 11, Jesus says there in the middle of this section that requires so much wisdom to make right judgments, he says, ask and keep on asking God to give you good things. Along with God's word, we need wisdom from above. We need the Holy Spirit's help. Don't trust in your own resources, shrewdness, or wisdom. Pray for insight, as we've sung from Psalm 119. But then be hopeful. Be hopeful. The danger is real. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. History is strewn with the shipwrecks of people and congregations and denominations and seminaries. But the situation is not hopeless. The one who gave this warning is the ultimate hope we have in light of the warning itself. In the face of the danger of false prophets, Jesus is the perfect prophet. This is my beloved son, God said. Listen to him. Surrounded by false shepherds in this world, Jesus is the good shepherd. He proved it by laying down his life for his sheep. He seeks and saves lost sheep. There's so much hope in the gospel, in Christ. Jesus even saved a ravenous wolf like the Apostle Paul. Wonder of wonders. Paul, who called himself the worst of sinners, mercy was shown to him. Pray for people on the wide road. Pray for people deceiving others and being themselves deceived. Pray for people influenced by false teachers. You may know them by name. Jesus seeks and saves the lost. There's hope. Jesus forgives wandering sheep. When to one degree or another, even as believers, we believe the lie, even for a moment when we sin, when we fall, we're believing the lie. He protects his vulnerable sheep. Follow Jesus. He won't ever lead you astray. You have his word in the Bible, the word of Christ. Truly I say to you, Jesus said, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Oh, may our ears be tuned to the voice of Jesus in Scripture. We are called to watch and pray, yes, but ultimately Jesus keeps his people safe. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Christ will keep his people. He'll keep them through warnings, but he'll keep them surely. Jude was eager to write about our common salvation, but found it necessary to write appealing to contend for the faith once delivered for all the saints. Lastly, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to the truth, faithful to the gospel. As one writer said, we are not concerned to be merely polemical, that means argumentative, but very practical. We are concerned for the souls of men and women. We are here to spread the good news of salvation and to win people out of darkness and into light. That is why we should be so careful about the truth and always contend for it. We heed Jesus' warning not just to point out error and falsehood, but so that the gospel can be faithfully proclaimed and believed. We don't identify false prophets just to point fingers at people, but to point others to the narrow way that leads to life, and to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. Truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, said Jesus. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly.